All right, can we just declare the word of God? Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. I want you to say so that I know you are there. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
To please Him in all respects.
I'm pleased in all respects.
I'm bearing fruit in every good work.
I'm bearing fruit in every good work.
And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God.
All
right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. We are continuing our teaching on the kingdom life, that is living a life as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And then the scripture we have been reading, I want to continue reading it again, the book of Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, because we have read it again and again, I may be a bit, I may jump here and there so as to save our time. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. I've explained that again and again, that means that you came from amongst the Gentiles. You did not know God, you did not know the word of God, you did not know the ways of God. That's the meaning of your birth, your origin are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother, he said, a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not caught, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. Now, we said that means that many of times we are still attached to the place where we came from. We have behaviors and characters like the people that we are named amongst as natural people. For example, I may say I am a Christian, but I may say I'm a Nigerian, or I'm an Igbo man, or I'm a Hausa man, or I'm a Yoruba man, or I'm a Shekiri man, I'm an Ijaw man. That's what it means when it says that your navel cord was not caught. If we behave like the place from which we arose, then what we are doing is manifesting that scripture, that we are still attached by the umbilical cord to the place where we came from. And remember, these are the abominations of Jerusalem. So it's a negative thing, not a positive thing. All right, so in verse 5, it says, No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things to you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field. Because of time, please, jump here and there. In verse 6, it says, I passed by you. You were squirming in your blood, that is, in your sin. And I said to you, while you were in your blood, live. Which means that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That is, while we're still in our sins, Jesus died for us. That's what he was saying here. And then the Lord said that I passed by you, and then I began to do good to you. That's what he was saying. In verse 7, it says, I made you numerous like plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age for fine ornaments. You attained to maturity. In verse 8, it says, Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at a time for love. So I began to make provisions for you. I entered into a covenant with you at the end of verse 8, it says, And you became mine. Then in verse 9, Then I bathed you with water. Washed off your blood, every remnant of sin I washed off from your body, and anointed you with oil, I gave you ability. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth, and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet, and I wrapped you with fine linen, and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands, and a necklace around your neck. Now I did all of these things so that at the end of the day, you ate fine flour, honey, and oil, and you became exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Now, the Lord says, now this is a problem. Verse 15. Now, you know I'm jumping now because I've read it before. He said, but you trusted in your beauty. The Lord was saying, there is a but. All these things that I did for you, I did them for you by myself. I said before, the things are not bad in themselves. It is what people do with what God blesses them with that is a problem. Do you understand my point? The blessings are not bad in themselves. But what do you do with the blessing that God has given you? That is what the issue is. If you decide to trust in the thing that God has given to you, That is what the issue is. And that's one of the things you have to learn as a Christian, as a person. I said something to us before. God uses things, and those things are called, well, we can use the word the hand of God. Let me just use that expression. For example, if God wants to bless you, he can use the fact that you studied a particular, or he could have guided you to go and study, let's say, engineering in school or law or anything at all. And then from that, he now begins to, he uses your degree to give you a job somewhere or get you into a particular kind of establishment. And then you begin to do certain kinds of jobs. And then money is coming into your life. Now, this is a mistake a lot of people make. People put their trust in the method by which God blessed them. That thing is very important, you understand it. So the man now says that the way by which his children will do well in life, you must all become engineers. Do you follow my point? A man, okay, maybe he's a lawyer. So the only way to ensure that the children are successful in life is to make sure that they are lawyers. Or you're a preacher. You say, the only way to ensure my children are successful in life, all of them must be preachers. But actually, it doesn't work like that. For us Christians, we're talking about spiritual principles. We must understand it. These are spiritual principles we are dealing with here. I'm not talking about how it happens to the unbeliever. I'm talking about people who are children of God, who live in the kingdom of God. God is saying, that is just my hand. You know, the other time we're talking about not disobeying the third commandment. That is, the third commandment, there's a spirit behind it. And what is that spirit behind that third commandment? He said, you must not take the name of the Lord thy God and place it on a vain thing. That is, the job you have, the degree you have, the course you studied in school, it's one of the methods by which God can bless you. But that thing in itself is a vain thing. Do you follow? So you must not ascribe success to that. So like I was saying, so what God does for us in itself is not a problem. It's what we do with the thing that God did for us that now becomes a problem. He said, you trusted in your beauty. Sometimes when God is doing things for us, we don't even realize that he's the one that is doing it, except we are taught. Now, that's why teaching is very important. You must be taught. You must be taught. Otherwise, you will miss what God did in your life. For example, every time you eat, it doesn't cross your mind. You know, because food is just, it comes to you so easily. You don't realize that actually, literally, an angel had to prepare your portion of food and deliver it to you. And that's why I was thinking about it. You know, there's a small teaching I wrote. It's just for those followers by email, the mailing group. It will come at me by next week, about how to make faith a habit. One of the things I put in there again is the issue of thanksgiving. And it struck me that Jesus never, ever, ever did Jesus eat food without first giving thanks. He never. Go and read it. And in fact, when the Bible will talk about it, the Bible will emphasize that after he gave thanks, the Bible always emphasized it. He wouldn't just say they now ate. He said he took bread and gave thanks. And he took wine in the same manner. He will tell you that this was where the multitude were fed after the Lord gave thanks. Do you understand? I know that the Bible always emphasized it. He wouldn't just say that the Lord fed the multitude. He said no, he fed the multitude after he had given thanks. That is what's so striking. What I think is that maybe the Jews before him did not understand that. So it was not a very good habit with them to always take time out to thank God for food. As basic as food might look, do you understand? It's something that God specially prepared for every one of us. Specially. So that's why Jesus never, ever took food into his mouth without first giving thanks. Do you understand the point I'm making here? So that's one thing we must understand. God does all these things for us, but they are not always so striking when he's doing them. That's what I'm emphasizing. But it's a training, it's teaching for us to understand. So that when we wake up in the morning, later I'm going to talk about the recipe, or we may use another title for it, but the recipe for perfect health and long life. We'll discuss it after now when we finish this series. I'm going to start a new series on laying claim to your possession, and we'll take it one by one. We'll take recipe for laying claim to good health, laying claim to long life, laying claim to prosperity, how to activate those promises of God in your life. We did a series that time, the sayings of God. Now, we want to take those things, and how do you activate them? We'll take a few things, about four or five of them, long life, prosperity, stuff like that, you know? One of the things you must do, you wake up in the morning, that's one of the recipes for long life, for good health and long life. The first breath you take in the morning, you thank God for it. You can take a few minutes once in a while and just say, Lord, that breath was good. Let's take time out to give you thanks for the breath. You come down, instead of saying, you mean I slept this whole night? There was power failure. Remember, you got up from a mattress. Why don't you say, you understand my point? You may take it for granted, but God actually sent a mattress into your life. I did that yesterday, you know. I was just lying down. I think after I wrote the message during the night, so I said to practice in the morning. So I just lay down there. I just bounced on the mattress a bit, and I took time out to thank God for it. You can look at the things that you don't have in life, but there are so many things that you have, and those things, don't take them for granted. God specifically prepared them for you. Don't ever forget that, all right? You have clothes to wear. Look at your wardrobe one day and just shake your head. Say, God, thank you. If, look at me, all these clothes are mine. I say, Pastor, what about if it's only one? I say, Lord, I've seen naked people before. Thank you. I'm going to go out today and I will not be naked. You know, say, what if I'm naked? I say, Lord, I thank you because I have a skin covering the other parts of my body. Do you get my point? Yes, there are things, organs are inside. They are covered by skin. All right? And I know that God will supply my own clothing. That's a matter of fact. Okay? Now, so, why I'm bringing out these issues is that everything we have in life, God gave them to us. Every single thing. I said it before, let me say it again. Even the children are not yours. They didn't come any other way than God sent them into your house. Please bear these things in mind. So God gives us all of these things. It is not because we labored for them. But what I was emphasizing is that we may sometimes find how he did it. I went to school, got a good degree, I got a good job. All right? Now you now think that is the way. That is trusting in a method that God used. Sometimes the blessing brings a result in our lives. Like as an example, God teaches you how to invest money and he gives you a lot of money. You have invested a lot of money. You have a lot of stock. You have landed property. You've built houses and they are paying you rent. You have things that are generating money for you. Okay? This is the danger of life. Everything in life has its danger. That is what I call the danger of prosperity. There are two things. One, you start thinking that this thing came because you're smart. You know, like God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you will say that my own hand begat me all of this wealth. Okay? That's number one. Then number two, you start looking at the wealth as a source of everything that you need. That becomes a danger also. You trust in your beauty, he said here. But the Lord was saying, that wealth is a beauty that I confide upon you. The danger sometimes that people trust in them. So in this particular situation, he was telling Jerusalem, you began to trust in this thing that I've done for you and played the harlot because of your fame. All right? And you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. We'll keep on explaining these things. And why are we explaining them? So that Christians will not do them. Okay? Now, you took some of your clothes, made for yourself high places of various colors. That's idols. Now, he's talking about idolatry. And played the harlot on them. Don't forget, these are the things that made your life beautiful. He said, you took them, made your own idols. He said, things which should never come about or happen. You also took your beautiful jewels, made of my gold and my silver, which I had given you. All right, and made for yourself male images that you might play the harlot with them. Now, so as to save time, let me just stop here, all right? And then, you know, we'll still read it again. Because I find it dangerous that we may keep on reading it so much every time we come, all right? So let me just stop here, and because I want to pick up from here. Remember last time I was speaking about what it means to take off his gold and his silver and use them to make images. The point is that anything God gives us, there is a purpose for it. What we have here is that God told the people of Israel, your beauty was for me. Remember, he said, I entered into a marriage covenant with you. You find that in verse 8. We read it previously. So that you became mine. Everything I gave you was supposed to service that relationship. Everything I gave you was supposed to be used to serve me. But you're not doing that. You are using these things to attract other things, idolatry, unto yourself. Instead of using this to increase, all right, our relationship, to improve our flow together as husband and wife. Instead of using these things for that, you are now using those things for idolatry. You are trusting in them. You are using them to serve other gods. And that's what the problem is. Last time I explained what it means to use our gold and silver. And there are two things I said then. That gold and silver refer to two things. We're going to look at it two ways. One, we can use it. I'm not saying it's always like that, but it's a good way to look at it as a type of wealth. The good things of life that God has given us. What do we do with those things? Now, as a matter of fact, God gave us things richly to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul explained it in verse 17 and verse 18. He said, God gave us things freely to enjoy. However, he told the people not to forget to do good, all right, and be ready to share. Make sure you are always doing good works. The primary reason Why God gave you things is not the enjoyment. You must understand that. In fact, what you call enjoyment is actually important in life. As a Christian, that's part of the training of Christianity. Let me say that again. That's part of the training of Christianity. There are things that some people call enjoyment. If you go and meet a typical young man, maybe in a place like United States of America, they'll tell you what they call their adrenaline rush. You understand? They do crazy things just to get a lot of adrenaline poured into their system. Okay? And they call it enjoyment. So you find a man decides, they do crazy things. Young men will enter a car, and then they race the car, you know, accelerate it as good as by 100 and say 40 kilometers an hour. Well, young men in the car, four or five of them, they'll not leave the steering. And what are you trying to do? Let's see the first person to reach for the steering so that we don't die. And the first guy to do it is called Chicken. Four young men in the car. The car is racing at 140, 150 kilometers an hour. Nobody's holding the steering. Of course, finally, one young man will just look and say, ah, boy, we'll go die. So the first fellow to you know, which word do I use now? To, what was our word in English? The first one to chicken out anyway. They call him Chicken. And that's it, adrenaline rush. They call it enjoyment. I remember one movie I saw long ago. One young man, he came to visit another one. Well, they were meeting for the first time. Their parents are going to get married, all right? The young man is the son of a man, two young men. One is the son of one man, son of one woman. Both of them single people, all right? So these are grown people. So the parents wanted their own children to meet because they are going to be brothers now, all right? So one of them looked and said, so one took the other guy to go and play. So let's just go around town. Let's show him things. Finally, the other guy said, look, listen, don't together have anything we can do around here. The guy said, well, like what? Said something dangerous. That is something dangerous. The other young boy considered something dangerous fun. I'm looking at something here. What do we call enjoyment is important. Because indeed, God gave us things to enjoy. But what do you call enjoyment? What you define as enjoyment must not be what the world defines as enjoyment. Do you follow my point? Once a brother was talking, one brother said, let's do something, you know, just for the fun of it. He said, you know what I consider fun? Let me go and grab an unbeliever, preach to him. When he believes, that is fun. Do you understand? He said, that's what I consider fun. That's what I consider fun. You understand? So, I'm bringing up something here. So, God gave us his wealth for a purpose. All right? It doesn't expect that we'll be worshiping ourselves and lavishing his money on ourselves. Remember, let me say, and I said this before, let me just say it again. It's very important we understand it. This money issue is critical, we understand it. Remember the story we read from the book of Luke chapter 12, right? The man that his farm got a lot of, you know, produced a lot of goods. When the man stored it up for himself, he died for that reason. Which means that abundance is never given to you to store up so that you'll be saved for the future. God never gives it to you. God never gives it to you. I don't want to preach that message again. So that's one area. When we're looking at God's gold and his silver, I discussed it last time, and later on we'll come back to it again when we're talking about the power for wealth later. All right? Abundance is not meant so that we will now, you know, the world keeps on bringing things for people to spend money on. Samsung will bring Galaxy X5. Apple will come out with Galaxy iPhone 5. Apple brings out iPhone 6. Then Samsung brings out Galaxy S6. And then they now say that, you know, Samsung has to sell now because very soon, next iPhone will come out. iPhone 7, and go and check it. It's the same people. The same people that are buying the thing again and again. Human beings, the world keeps on creating something for people to spend money on, and they keep on falling for it. Listen, that's not the reason why God gave us wealth. I said that last time. Let me not go there again. You know, last time I said there's a second type side to gold and silver that I must explain, and that's what I want to get to now. Now, if you read the scriptures, gold and silver is also a type of faith and patience. The Bible talks about the trial of your faith being more precious than gold. You see, faith is likened to gold in the scriptures. And so when God says that you take my gold and my silver, I want to just take time out to explain something to Christians. And this is very important. Please follow me very closely. Because it will help you understand a lot of things that happen in Christianity. You know, our brother Akimuti was on radio this morning, and the fellow interviewing him said that, talking about this seed sowing and stuff like that, that a man had problems in his office, and he went to sow a seed, because, I don't know how many of you heard it, went to sow a seed for the end of his problem in the office, and things began to happen. One of the things, if you were listening to it, you hear Okimuti say something, that it may have worked too, but be careful that you are not practicing witchcraft. Christians practice witchcraft. I want you to understand that. Many of the testimonies we hear these days, they are not doing the will of God. People are manipulating spiritual things to get their own results. I said gold and silver refers also to faith. And I'm just applying silver as patience, all right, because they go together. Many of the things we claim we use faith to get. I've been saying this for a long time. Christians must understand. Your faith works, but be careful what you use your faith for. Sometimes God teaches us principles. I have seen people fight their enemies. And you know this fight is not Christian. And it works. Let me tell you something. I will say something that will surprise you. You see the way churches these days pray about enemies. Most of it is nothing but Christianized witchcraft. We take scriptures and be firing it recklessly. When I was a youth copper, one of my friends used to call him pastor. Told me the story of one preacher, one of these prophets that you see these days. You know, many of the prophets you see these days, all right, they are the modern day version of white garment pastors. You know that. You will notice something, that white garment people are scarce now. You don't see much of them anymore. The spirit has not departed. It just bought suits. They just went and bought suits, that's all. They are doing the same thing as we were doing before. They are doing divination. The same divination. The same kind of, you know, principle of solving problems. Sacrifice those days were a lot literal. They used to use chicken and goats, but now they've modernized it. They have become Y2K compliant. So now money can be accepted as sacrifice. It's still the same thing. They took what is actually witchcraft and brought it into Christianity. My friend told me the story of one of those white garment people those days. He said that once, you know, they have rivalry. In the area where they were, one of them went to Jerusalem. And the other one was afraid. No, he said, I'm in trouble. I won't give you the name because he told me the name of the fellow. You never can tell where these messages will get to. All right? So let's call the other guy. Give me a name. Adonijah. Somebody said Adonijah. Thank you. So somebody said, so the fellow said, Prophet Adonijah has gone to Jerusalem. Mugbe, that is, I'm in trouble. What will I do? Why did he say so? Because he understood that the Jerusalem that one went for is not the one all these half-confused Christians call pilgrimage. That one went to a place where they collect power. I was talking to one pastor in Lagos, okay, where I went to minister the other day, and he told me about a place in Ghana that Nigerian pastors go to go and collect spiritual power. That is juju power. So they will start seeing visions and, you know, I've told you, be careful when you're going around looking for miracles. Go around looking for righteousness. The miracles will come to you. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
sir. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Anybody that runs from one pillar to the next post looking for miracles tends to find troubles. That too is a matter of fact. So this is my young man said, that's my colleague, when we were doing our national service. He said, this man said, what will I do? Because he said, when that man comes back, most, you know, people will start going to him. Because they know he has come with spiritual power. Let me say another thing. You know, as we talk, we keep on dropping things to help people. If any pastor tells that he has brought water from Jordan to help you, he's practicing witchcraft. If anybody tells that this olive oil is from Jerusalem, tell them I said it is witchcraft. It's not Christianity. If anybody brings oil, what do you call it, water, in jugs and says it's from Jerusalem, from River Jordan, you know that's what they do. They look, one thing, either they are frank lying so they can collect your money, or they are practicing witchcraft. There is no Christianity in it. I don't care where you bring oil from. If you want the power of the true Holy Spirit and you want to use oil for it, go to your kitchen, get cottonseed oil. Go to your kitchen, get granite oil. Go to your kitchen, get any cooking oil. It will work. The one from Jerusalem is just expensive for nothing. It's used to deceive Christians that don't know anything. One of our brothers was telling me that about one pastor who said, he'll go to church. This water is from Jordan. So? Okay, so it's from Jordan. It only means it contains the germs in Israel. All the microbes in the Middle East, they are there. And who allowed you to bring it into Nigeria yourself? I'm beginning to get suspicious. Most of those, they tell lies. They bring small, then go and buy plenty of water, pour it inside, shake out, multiply the anointing. And those who don't know anything will go home and say they have holy water from Jordan. Ignorance is what has been punishing you, in case you are hearing this and you have been a patron of such things. It doesn't contain anything. Oh, I can feel it. Some people are angry. This man is spoiling business. Spoiling business. Spoiling business. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what am I going to explain? So my friend said, okay, let me continue what I was saying. No, give me a story before. So my friend said that, so the other man, he was afraid that this man has come from Jerusalem. So you know what he did? He too disappeared to a mountain. He didn't have the money to go to Jerusalem. So he disappeared to a mountain. And I don't know what he went to do there. Then when he came down, he said, I brought forth the psalms like incantation. He wakes up in the morning to, so that business won't go down. He takes the scriptures, you understand, and start using them to fire enemies. You know, just spiritual weapon and start firing. Now, I want to explain something to you. In fact, I heard one man preaching the other day. I was listening to him yesterday. He said something that actually I never heard anybody say before. Even though I've said this thing for at least 10 years, or maybe close to 20. Yes, it was the first time I heard another person say it. It's a 73-year-old prophet from Australia, so he's not a small boy. He's been preaching for 45 years, all right? The man said there are many ways to the realm of the Spirit. It's not only that the kingdom of God is not the only way. There are many ways. You've heard me say it before. And people manipulate things recklessly. That's what I'm going to explain. Sometimes people take the scriptures because it contains truth. They seem to use it and it works. And people get confused. For example, what he was talking about is that Nostradamus was not a believer. But he understood how to get into the realm of the spirit and see what was happening. And 80% of his prophecies came to pass. Yes. That is why when I hear people say, this man is a prophet. Why? He prophesied something and it came to pass. Like that funny Nigerian prophet. Go and check it. I have checked it. That man's prophecy, 90% is about somebody died. Go and check. That tells me something. He just has a way. The only reach he has into the realm of the spirit is from the angle of where spirits pass when they are exiting the earth. So he can occasionally see the people that have been prepared to come next. Maybe. He may be lying, because some of those prophets are funny. This year, a great man is going to die. Great men die every year. There is no year a great man does not die. So those prophecies, say you prophesied a plane crash. I agree that planes don't crash all the time. but you can actually see into the realm of the spirit, and you know a plane is going to crash, it does not make you a true prophet. Nostradamus did it. People with familiar spirits are still doing it. I like one thing Neville Johnson said. He said, just the same thing I've said here before. He said, through discipline, fastings, buffeting of the flesh, you can manage to get into the realm of the spirit and you see things. So people use all of these things and they get into the realm of the spirit and they see things. It doesn't make them Christian. Don't be carried away by man's visions. A man comes to your church, he's calling phone number. It's a common thing in Nigeria now. It doesn't impress me. I've told you again and again. Don't let prophets deceive you. A true prophet, how you know a true prophet, is always calling you to righteousness. He's never trying to get anything out of you. He's only trying to call you to righteousness. That's the only thing you need to know, whether a man is true or false. Now, please, I've not forgotten what I'm trying to say. Talking about faith and patience, gold and silver being misused. Now, that's an extreme, what I've described. Sometimes people use all of these things, and they get results. And that's what I'm talking about. And the testimonies now come forth. So a false prophet will gather a large congregation just because he has stories to tell. And people can verify some of these stories. Now, this is the part I'm talking about for Christians. Christians use a modified version of it also. They take the word of God and use it the way God did not expect it to be used. Let me give you an example. There was a time Jesus and his disciples were coming out of a city. They went to enter a city. People drove them away. Remember that story? And what did the disciples say? Say, Lord, should we call fire down on these people? The Lord looked at them and said, you do not know the kind of spirit that you have. Now, why I like that, why I'm referring to that is this. The Lord did not say, who gave you that kind of power? The Lord did not imply in any way that it's not possible for them to have done it. Which means, therefore, if the Lord had left them, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Co., they had learned some methods by which they could bring down fire from God, literal fire, and that fire would have consumed those people. Are you getting my point? The question is that would that have been right? No, answer me. I didn't hear you well enough.
No, sir.
How do you know it would not have been right? Simply because the Lord was there. And he told us, if you did that, you'll have been operating by a wrong spirit. Do you know Christians these days, their wrong spirit is terrible. Congregations gather on how to kill enemies. They don't pray for enemies. When the Lord said directly, pray for them that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Was that not what he said? Do you know, I'm sure Muslims have never heard that in a long time. Do you remember that he said, love your enemies? You hear them carry scripture. The Bible says, Zion shall be... When they are quoting like this, they go to fire churches. They are calling fire down on their mothers-in-law, fathers-in-law, brothers-in-law. Every day calling fire on enemies. I can tell you something. Do you know one of the reasons why Buhari had to win this election? God is tired of the way Christians are behaving. They are more afraid of Islam than if Islam is afraid of them. You see all of them fear. They can't just take rest in certain scriptures and relax. Everything is fire. You see billboards everywhere, Operation Fire for Fire. People every day. Now listen, there is a severity of God. I'm not talking about, I know there are times you've heard me preach it, there are times God judges things. In fact, I've told you before, Christians, you pray against iniquity. And you hear me declare words against those who want to do iniquity. But have you ever heard me declare any word against my personal enemies? You never heard me say it. One, I'm not afraid of him. Or whoever it is. I don't believe you can do anything to me. And I don't believe you are the reason why I've not gotten to where I want to get to. The only thing that keeps me back, I told you before, that was last week. That if I see the Lord today, if today the Lord calls me and say, Banky, come up home, the one you have done is enough, or Jesus returns, or one day I'm old and elderly and it's time to leave this earth, one thing came to my mind a few days ago. I said, listen, once I see the Lord, the first thing I will say to him is, Lord, I am sorry. For what? I just said, look, there are things I should have done. I have a feeling I didn't do them. Why? Because I didn't trust you enough. The only reason, that's what I'm talking about, why I won't get to where I'm supposed to get to is my trust in God is not complete. Not because you're an enemy. I say to Christians all the time, you want to know a false prophet? I will say it. I'm false prophet, sir or ma. If you are hearing this, it is so that you can repent. You see a false prophet, you go and see him. And he tells you, you have a problem. Yes. There are people in your office that don't like you. That is fallacy 101. Yes, it's basic fallacy. In fact, it's not even, if you want to lie, find more serious lies. How you know a false prophet? Always pointing fingers at the other people that are the reason why you're not doing well. And the finger never goes to you. They point at accusing fingers. Tell a young woman, your great-grandmother said you will never marry. The great-grandmother is dead. Do such things happen? I don't know. I don't care. Why I don't care is I'm talking to believers. Go and talk to the young woman whose great-grandmother said never marry. Her mouth be like that of a... It's like a girl where they sell lease for Lagos. No, no, no. Enter, price her things anyhow. You go abuse the life out of you. After abusing four men, the Jesus spread in the church. That sister, if you just talk to her, she will abuse you. So all the brothers just go somewhere else. And I say, it's my grandmother. My dear sister, it's not the grandmother. The grandmother has died. A true prophet always points to you. So hear this. If you have been going to a church where your prophet is always seeing the people that don't like you, maybe he's not lying. He's deceived. There's a difference between deception and lying. A deceived man thinks he's telling you the truth, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. And if you're a prophet, you are hearing this, stop that craft. Go and learn something else. I was watching a man one day. Everybody was pointing at, your uncle doesn't like you. He's planning your death. He left that one, went to the next person. Your neighbors, they don't like you. Went to the third person. I just changed the channel. I said, this guy is false. I don't care. Listen, I don't care how genuine he thinks he is. He's false. You're going from one person to the other, pointing to somebody who does not like somebody. For goodness sake, like I keep on saying, does everybody like you? No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the prophet. At least you now know that Banky doesn't like you. And I know that you, if you hate this prophet, you don't like me. That's not stopping my ministry. It's not stopping my offerings. My wife still loves me. My children are still excited when I come back home. You don't like me makes no difference. If you like, wake up in the morning, do waka, waka, waka. I just hire you as pointer. That's all. That's nothing. Look, look. I keep on saying this thing. God is my witness. I keep on saying this. I'm not lying about it. I have never, I can't remember it, praying about those who don't like me. It has never been a problem for me. I don't know why it's a problem for people. And I keep on talking to give that spirit. Paul said, I want to come to you to impart spiritual gifts unto you. I'm just imparting that confident spirit to my hearers. That's why I keep on saying these things. It doesn't bother me. Because as long as you are alive, especially if you are walking in righteousness, you must have enemies. You must. You must have. So these are not the reasons. So a false prophet points at the enemies. Now, but back to my message. So what do we Christians now do? We now take scriptures and start firing them at our enemies every day. It's the plague of modern day Nigerian Christianity. Enemy worship. All my enemies, fall down. all my enemies, die, die, die. And we do that every day, and we think we are praying. God says, you have taken my power, my silver, my gold, and you have used it on your own personal problems. That's not why I gave you faith. I didn't give you the word of God to be chasing the things that your nation, that is your local people, the Hittites and Amorites, they are chasing. We pray exactly like unbelievers. That's what I'm talking about. You've taken my gold and my silver. The authority I gave you to pray, what are you using to do? Your nation is having problems? No, you're not praying about that. The word of God is not moving in certain areas anymore. You're not praying about that. They took my silver and my gold, went to church at night and worshipped their enemies from 10 p.m. that their prayer vigil started to 5 a.m. next morning. God said, I'm sorry, I'm soon going to have to dispossess you of that silver and gold. Many Christians have lost their faith, that's why. Why have they lost their faith? They're not using it properly. This is how you see how we have taken the silver and gold of God and misused it. We gather in church, and I keep on saying this thing. We pastors stand in front and be telling people, God in heaven have mercy. All our problems, we worship our problems morning till night. All we are doing with our seed is this year I must do this. This year I must do this. And we stand there, put a basket down there. Oh God, don't kill us yet. No, not yet. Give us one more year to repent. Just one more. Because God gives it. No, it doesn't wait forever. When I'm talking about the recipe for long life, I'll talk about it. God doesn't wait forever. After a certain period, he starts harvesting people. Yeah. Why did I laugh? We take what is bad, make it into a trade. We take Christians, we pastors, we are the guilty ones. I'm talking to us. Bring that to your offering, put your need inside it, seal it together, and drop it on the altar. Hear ye the word of the Lord, it is iniquity. If you're an honest pastor, you were doing it, please stop it after today. You've heard it now, you did not know. You are making Christians worship their needs. You can't take your needs, journey with money in an envelope, and see you are dropping on your altar. That's not Christianity. That's witchcraft. Said, they've healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's why the church has not moved forward. That's why we're afraid of Islam advancing. We're all campaigning. Don't vote, otherwise you wear hijab. When you won't teach the truth. I feel like throwing the challenge down for you just to let you know the word of God. Take the next 1 month or two, if you're listening to me, and say, that thing that I've been praying about, for the next 2 months, I will not say anything to the Lord about it. If it crosses my mind, I will just give him thanks and leave it. If it crosses my mind. My prayer henceforth is going to be for my country, the church of God, for my friends, my relatives, that they may know. Now, when we finish school of prayer we are doing, I'll start a new one titled How to Pray for Your Loved Ones. That they may come to the knowledge of truth, that the gospel will advance. When I want to pray for my business, I focus on how the business will increase so as to be a blessing to people. It's going to be my focus. Do that for 2 months. It's just a small test so that you know what we are saying is true. Do it for 2 months and watch God work in your life. Why? Because it's the word of God. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. What is lacking in our lives to the degree that we are not seeking what is right? God said, they have taken my silver, my gold, my faith that I'm teaching them, and patience. When the word of faith came out, God began to teach the word of faith, you know, to the people of God. And then, of course, some of us came along the line, began to learn. That was many years ago, almost 30 years now. People use the word of faith for all kinds of things. That's what we're talking about. Small boy is leaving school. He's using faith to claim a Mercedes Benz. Mercedes Benz, is it good or bad? Please, good or bad?
Good.
Thank you. But is that the most important thing in his life? If you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted something today. I said, the faith that cannot help you walk above sin cannot overcome the devil. Is your faith working? Use it to overcome sin. You know it's working. The faith that cannot conquer sin cannot conquer Satan. That's faith 101. If that faith cannot conquer sin, it cannot conquer Satan. I said God gave us silver and gold to nourish our relationship, our marriage relationship with Him. Which means, therefore, when I take my faith, it is not first to use it to satisfy my worldliness. It is to claim myself of all defilement. Like I keep on saying, if you're a young man, young woman, you're just leaving school, you want to start believing God for things. Don't start believing God for a car. Start believing God to be able to walk like Paul. That whether I have or I don't have, I'm the same. First, exercise your faith to walk into the place where everybody has something and you don't have it, and you are yet full of joy. That's the first thing your faith should do for you. Use your faith to dance well when your friends are getting married. Yes. And I don't mean just let them say we should dance. No. I mean I'm joyful. I'm glad that God has done it for this person. That's what I'm talking about. God said they took my faith and my silver. They used it wrongly. This was what we did with faith. We used faith to service our carnality. Today I went for Angela's wedding. I started believing God that my wedding will be bigger than that. What we are doing when we use faith like that is that we are turning the scripture upside down. The Lord Jesus said something to us clearly, and we seem to forget that He did. You know, sometimes in Christianity these days, we behave as if some things were not said. There's one we do a lot. I just like to drop things here and there to help us as we go on. Jesus said something clearly. When you are giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But we keep on pretending as if He never said it. So what we do in churches is, if you are giving $1 million, come forward. There can be situations in which, listen, this is a matter of fact, there may be situations in which such things end up being expedient. But it's supposed to be rare. If you have a straight commandment that says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, then why do we now make it look as if it was never said? Almost every church you go to, when they want to raise money, if you are giving $1 million, come forward. If you are giving $500,000, stay on this side. You know, we pretend as if Jesus never said anything about it. And pastor, sometimes we know God have mercy on us. You know, I keep on saying it. We need the mercy. If a man gives money, we announce it. All right, Brother Chinedu sent in an offering as $700,000. Let's clap for him. Thereby removing half of his reward from God. We just do as if the Lord didn't see anything. Like this love your enemies thing. We build denominations on how powerful we are in killing enemies. As if Jesus never said, love your enemies. And He said to them, to concern the enemies, pray for them. If they are doing you bad, pray for them. Sorry, is my Bible different from yours? I can see it on your face. Even you are surprised. You suddenly are remembering that, yes, actually there. Like I say all the time, we abuse the Holy Spirit. You know what I call abuse? We misuse the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost fire upon our enemies. When the Bible says clearly, the fire of the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were waiting in the upper room so that they might be endued with power from on high. Then we turn around and take the same Holy Ghost fire and send it to our enemies. We behave as if the Lord didn't see anything about these things. When it comes to our needs, Zinko, yes, the Lord also says something. He said, don't worry about these things. That this is how Gentiles pray. That people that have God as their father, this is never their preoccupation. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? Which house is my own? Which car will I buy? He said, it's never their preoccupation. He said, after these things, the Gentiles do what? Seek. Did he say that we shouldn't have them? He said, no. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every single one of these things that the Gentiles seek, they will be added to us. No, we do behave like it as if he never said it. So we camp at the altar of our needs. Day in, day out, and the more we seek those things, the farther they seem to be from us. I'm analyzing what God meant when he said, we took his gold and his silver. We use these things to build altars. We use these things to build idols. We started worshiping at fake altars. So when a man builds a house, suddenly he has succeeded. Like I said to you the other week, it could be the sign of failure. I told you I heard a prophet say something once. Somebody reported what he said to me. A man who builds a large denomination, the prophet looked the day he started the church. He said, this day the man missed the will of God for his life. Yet he built a big church. I hope you're getting my point. So we look at it. Okay, he has built a big house. He said, oh, he is doing well. And this, God says, is the very proof that he has missed the assignment I have for his life. This is the proof. Why do we think it's a great thing? Simply because we are carnal, we are confused, we are worldly, and we have taken his gold, and we are worshipping those things. My wife went to a church once. She told me something. All the celebration there is that, oh, he has not gotten a visa. Praise the Lord, she's not going abroad. Everything, celebration is visa abroad, visa abroad, visa abroad. Why do we worship such things? Because we actually think it's a sign of promotion. Let me just tell you, the way the world is today, there is no advantage to the man who lives in America, lives in UK, lives in Nigeria. There's totally no advantage. They are just there. Every once in a while, I meet people who, they will laugh at people who are growing up and say, listen, where are they going to? What are they looking for? And people are talking, they have lived here, they've lived there, they are back home. They just said, listen, now this is a summary of it. Anywhere you want to live, just make sure God is with you. Otherwise, frustration is waiting for you every corner. But yet, we put those things up there as a sign that somebody has succeeded. It becomes our testimony. I've seen people look at this going abroad thing. People, I told you, God does things different ways. There are people that God's good plan for their life is leave this country, go to another one. It happens like that once in a while. Then people turn that into an idol. Then they start worshiping it. And as they are worshiping those idols, their lives start getting confused. And every once in a while, you see people who just messed up their lives because they had an idol in their heads. I've seen young women who leave school, law students, the ones I have in mind, law students, engineering students, things like that, who opportunity to go to America, boom, they go there. 8 years later, they don't have a degree, they don't have anything. They are still perambulating, just living from hand to mouth. I look at the fellow and say, if only you had waited 3 more years, finish this school. Now we're talking about natural play now. It gives you an advantage wherever you go to in life. No, they don't bother. Why? There's an idol somebody lifted before them, and they were using their faith to call it to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, next year I shall be in America. Idolatry. What did I call it? Idolatry. The Bible says, only in the Lord are righteousness and what? And strength. Every other thing that people rely upon, we fail. Every other thing that people rely upon, we fail. We're talking about faith. The faith that God has given us, what do we now do with it? That's a mistake we have made. We have used this faith to worship idols. A young man will use faith to buy a car. He has never given his father a gift that the man will beat his chest and say, yes, this is my son. Let me bless him. You need faith to trek. Are you getting my point? Use your faith to trek. The first job your faith should do for you is make you trek with confidence. You stand beside the road, having wearing your white, you know, garb, and one man will go pow on a rainy day and splash mud all over you. You need faith not to do waka. The normal response is what? This is Nigeria. Waka shige. You do like this, Father, I worship you. That is your faith. That is what, look, listen, this is how we get spiritual power. You understand my point? This is how you get spiritual power. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I was saying something to you earlier. Many of the things we practice is witchcraft. It's spiritual manipulation of God. And let me say something to you. The fact that you got it from God doesn't mean to be a blessing to you. There was a time, don't forget, Israel harassed God. And they got food that God did not plan for them. What God gave them was manna. Eat this manna and be satisfied. Listen to what manna was supposed to do for them. This will surprise you. Manna was supposed to give them strength to face the giants. They didn't eat the manna with joy. They grumbled. They wanted all kinds of food. Finally, they got the food. It weakened their ability to succeed in life. Many people have bought cars and started businesses or built houses. That is the reason why they don't sleep well again. Those days, one of my friends, he said that those early days, just finished NYC, we're working in Lagos. He said he noticed that anytime his car is bad and he keeps it there, he's buoyant, he has money. That once he let me put this car back on the road, he's always broke. What happened? The car was driving him, he was not the one driving the car. Yes. Listen, it's not the fact that, and you could have prayed until God gave you that car. The only gift from God that blesses you is the one that you used real faith to get. When I buy real faith now, not this witchcraft faith we use. The only one that blesses you is the one that real faith got for you. What is real faith? Faith first tells you, whether I have a car or not, I'm a man. Whether my wedding is lavish or not, I will still be a good wife. You know, some women, you know the reason why they never agree to marry some men? They have made up their mind their honeymoon will be in France. Honeymoon will be in France. Why? Because they had a classmate in university who married one bobo that either he had money or his father had money. Or something happened, or he won jackpot, or something, or he bought something in ShopRite and the price, and since that time, the girl has not slept. My honeymoon must be in France. Listen, even if your own honeymoon is not in France, your daughter's honeymoon can be in France. Somebody say amen now.
Amen.
That one is good enough. It's good enough. May your child chop the... May they chop on your behalf. Are you getting my point? After all, you know what I noticed about France or England or wherever you go, America? The bed is the same size. The food does not taste better. All of these things is... You know, I said something earlier. Be careful that you really make up your mind what you call enjoyment. You know, enjoyment is inside your soul. It's not outside. It's not outside. It's inside your soul. It's not outside, though. My wife used to laugh at me when we first married. Why? Because I was in Lagos. I didn't know any of the beaches in Lagos was. People, they go beach. To go and do what? I don't believe in swimming. It's against my religion. In my church, we don't swim. What is my reason? I have a friend. He and I, we deceive ourselves. You know, Bible says, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another. So those that fear the water speak often one to another. You know, we don't like water. So we say, listen, if God wanted us to swim, he would have given us gills and fins. Since he did not do any of the above, it cannot be the will of God that we should be swimming. So me and him, we keep away from water. And I add a spiritual twist to it, that even Jesus, when he saw water, he walked on it. He didn't dive into it. That my only relationship, now all of this self-deception, I hope you know it's deception. I'm just deceiving myself. Oh, I can do all things, amen? Yes, I can swim if I have to, in Jesus' name, amen. Uh-huh. Now, the point I'm making is this. This is when I was in Lagos, of course. One day, a friend of mine came and dragged me out. by force. This boy, you're always inside the house. Come, let's go somewhere. It was a public holiday. I think it was Easter, something like that. Dragged me to his car. He had two friends with him, a guy and a lady. So making four, how many of us now? Four of us, yes. So we now drove. Got to the beach. What he did not know as we were leaving, I took my red New American Standard Bible and put it. I'm not joking. I carried my Bible with me. So when we got to the beach, finally we got to one beach. We parked somewhere. So what are we going to do now? Ah, no beach now, you know. So he and that girl went one way. That guy went the other way. I looked to my left, looked to my right, saw a shed somewhere. You know, sat under it, brought up my Bible, put it in the sand, and sat down there. I was reading Isaiah chapter 50-something. I finished reading. I didn't get up. I sat there, read my Bible until they were ready to go. I was ready to go, yes. And good thing, I was one that now drove, you know, that day. So I got the key, went to the car again, took the car, and went back home. And I was as happy could be. Enjoyment is inside your soul. It's not outside. It's what you make up your mind to make you glad. Some people like to test food, all kinds of food. Like my wife does. Israel's wife does. My own is that it's risky. If I can't identify it, especially if I can't pronounce it, two things put together, I'm not eating. Just leave me alone. I sit down with what I recognize. What am I going to say? Is it good or bad? No. Enjoyment is just inside you. Are you getting my point? And Jesus said, my satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let me tell you something about faith again. Maybe the next time I'll come talking about what faith is supposed to do, because that's one important thing. We're talking about the kingdom life. Don't forget. This is what it means to be a Christian. Let me just forget to explain what I'm going to explain. That's what it means to be a Christian. You have a different standard, a different way of doing things. That's what I'm going to explain. You have a different way of looking at things in life. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your faith change the way you reason. That's what I'm trying to explain. God said, they took my faith and my patience. They will put the picture of a car on the wall and be declaring upon it for 6 months. That's called patience. But the man has never put his addiction to bad things on the wall and declares, in the name of Jesus, pornography, you will not have me. He hasn't done it. He has not said, maybe a man offended him. They did a business together, invested money. He brought 3 million naira, that guy brought 2 million naira. He was supposed to have 60%. The day finally saw the papers, he had only 10%. That guy had 50%, his brother had 25%, his mother had 25%, then 10% was for one uncle he had never seen. He that brought the majority of the money had only 10%. After that, they took the company and ran away. Faith, take the man's picture, put it on the wall, and say, Ngozi, I know some men are called Ngozi, so don't think I'm confused. Because, you know, I have to use the word Ngozi, maybe a prophetic thing. Now you never can tell, you know. You put the picture on the wall, say, Ngozi, I forgive you. Say this picture, you won't come down until I'm happy to see the photo. That's what faith is supposed to do. But what do? We put the picture of motor car in the name of Jesus. I claim it. After 6 months, you will claim it. After 7 months, they will steal it. Yes. You claimed it from God doesn't mean a thief cannot collect it. Put the picture of the man that offended you there and say, you want to put bitterness in my soul? I will not agree. I have to cleanse my heart. I have to purify my heart. This heart is going to carry the power of God. This heart is going to bring important inventions from heaven. It cannot allow bitterness. So I put your picture there. In Jesus' name, I bless you. It shall be well with you. I forgive you. May God have mercy upon you. May you come to know Jesus Christ. Everything. Look, I forgive you totally. Use your faith. Say that until your faith talks to you, back to you. You understand? Your faith speaks and say, look, you are forgiving him. Why are you wasting time? Now, oh, I've forgiven this guy. Yes. The words are bouncing back to you. But what do we do in modern day Christianity? We carry it to church. Pastor, this is the man. Is that the enemy? That's how we behave. We Christians. The pastor comes, this is the enemy. Yes. Holy Ghost fire. He will die. He will... Am I lying? Don't you go to churches? Don't you see them on TV? And we come and start bragging on it. I will use one offering to kill two people. I've heard this one before. People are laughing. These are things that I've heard. I don't mean from... I sat in the church and the man was preaching. I used one offering and killed my uncle. Of course. So I sold the Mercedes-Benz. He was sacrificing cow. I sowed the seed of a Mercedes-Benz and he died. Let me tell you something. When your enemy dies, so-called enemies, don't rejoice. There's nothing to brag about on it. What are you bragging about? That a human being died. Jeremiah prophesied, thus says the Lord, a man collapsed and died. He ran home and said, God, what are you doing? Direct prophecy. Fulfilling the word of God, yet he felt bad about it. When Saul died, David did not rejoice. There's nobody that has hated you the way Saul hated David. Yet David did not rejoice. What are you rejoicing about? Because one human being died. I told you before, when our head of state died, General Sani Abacha died, I refused to rejoice. If anything, I lamented for him. God is not happy when any soul perishes. Why do you want to pretend as if he's happy? No, he is not. Please, I'm explaining something to you. This your preoccupation with enemies is why your own problems are waiting in front. Because he that doesn't show mercy will not obtain any mercy. I listened to Pastor Kwaju once preach on the principle of intercession. My dear sister, Mommy, and said, that's one of the most powerful messages she ever heard. Said, the man said, listen, why innocency and faithfulness was found in Daniel was not because he never did anything wrong. It was because he was a man of mercy that always showed mercy to people. Therefore, he was always interceding for people. And that you saw it in the way he lived his life for Israel. And because he was a man full of intercession, God only could show him mercy. And when God is showing you mercy, all they will find in you is innocency and faithfulness. But we Christians are full of vengeance, full of anger. Want to kill all our neighbors. Why? Because your son didn't pass an exam. And one joker who claims he's a prophet says because one neighbor doesn't want your son to succeed. And you believe it. Ignoramus, you believe it. I keep on saying, why should a witch have power over your children? It shows you're a useless parent. I'll say it again. You're a useless parent. If a witch can have power over your children, you are an irresponsible parent, you are a sinner. I told you before, I'm not a nice pastor. Did I beg you to come here? I tell the truth. Not looking for your offering. It's true. Some things we should be ashamed of. They come and say, the witch has confessed. I say, the witch has confessed that you are a sinner. You see, Christian telling you that witch confessed. I've always been sick. You know, we're sick in there. After that, all night, I began to pray. And I was praying. And I was praying. And then the pastor now said, we should sow a dangerous seed. So I brought my seed. As I was putting down, as anybody behind my sickness, Holy Ghost fire. Next morning, the woman began to confess in the house. You're a liar. One unfortunate, mentally ill person. It's true. Many of these women, the video that they confess, they have mental illness. They are looking for attention. If you have been lonely, nobody has touched in a while, beating will be happy. You'll be happy to be beaten. You understand? You've been lonely. Nobody has shaken your hand, giving you a hug, giving you a kiss. After a while, you will do something so that somebody will slap you and say, at least human touch. I'm not like, listen. you don't know human psychology. See, this boy that killed 150 people, 29-year-old pilot in Germany, do you know why he did it? He said he wanted to be famous. He told his girlfriend ahead that one day my name will be known all over the world. So now, I'm in Nigeria talking about the Joker. That was what he wanted. Some people are in villages confessing that they are witches so that at least somebody will know that I'm here. My children have not sent me money in the last 3 years. I'm an old woman in the village. I beg, I'm a witch. No, I'm telling you the truth. And Christians will be believing, oh, my Father in heaven. They'll be believing it. Remember I said Christians. What did I say? I am not talking about unbelievers. So. If you're an unbeliever, if a witch removes your eye to fry egg in the morning, you are in the same company, so it's your problem. If the woman wants, if the witch says that, okay, you won't do fried rice in the afternoon and it needs liver, and it's your liver, they collect. That one, do you understand? I'm not saying that. If you say you won't do kidney suya, like your kidney, you are an unbeliever, so they can be doing that. You get my point? Yes. Uh-huh. What's that? Is it Unkwabi? You carry your head, take. Honestly, I don't have a problem. That's an unbeliever. Amen? Amen? But for Christians, that's what I'm talking about. A Christian, that's what I'm talking about. If indeed you have believed, listen to the word of God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give me an amen.
Amen.
There is no enchantment possible against you. Give me an amen.
Amen.
No divination works against you. Give me another amen.
Amen.
That's what it means to be a Christian. That is why we will never open our mouth and be telling somebody that a witch is afflicting my child. I've told you before, any witch that wants to die early, give them my home address. They will jump the fence. And if they survive, they are not witches. They are just thieves. And I keep on telling the story of the witch that visited me. Remember my witch? Many of you don't know the witch. Yes, the bat that entered my bedroom without any explanation. The AC was on, the windows were closed, everything, yet the bat entered. Very good recipe for an African to say is a witch. But for me, in my bedroom, you're not a witch, you're a visitor. You're not a witch, you came to visit. Can you go now? And that's what happened. Open the door. Hey, bat, hey, get out. Throw it in outside. Say, it's not a witch like me. Witch, you can't enter my bedroom. You smoke something. It's not possible. Only witches that want to give their life to Christ come there. Say, Pastor, hey, yeah, Pastor Beck. I'm not doing witching again. But for me to open my mouth and say my child was sick and a witch was responsible, God will put me out of ministry that day. They will come here and they say the door has closed. Israel has gone. Palace is not here again. Olayinka has gone back to Ibadan. Say, Dejiku, he now works in Anamco. That is, everything has closed. Nobody's there again. Say, why? Pastor opened his mouth and said the sickness of his child was caused by a witch. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point I've made? That we take our gold, that is our faith, and silver, which is patience, we use it on wrong things. What should our faith be used for? Building our relationship with our Father God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's what our faith is supposed to be used for. That's what our faith is supposed to be used for. If we use it wrongly, we are disobeying God. We are building idols. We cannot make our needs into idols and be focusing our faith on them. Jesus said something and he meant it. Your needs must never be your preoccupation in prayer. Never. So what if I have a problem? Mention it once to him in prayer. After that, it becomes a matter of thanksgiving. Because Paul said like that in Philippians chapter 4. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. He said, then the peace of God that passes all understanding will mount garrison, a guard around your heart and your soul. That's what's going to happen to you. Do you get my point? Listen, after that, what do you use your faith for? Say, listen, God said, if anything is lacking in my life, let me just drop it for 2 minutes and then I'll close, all right? 2-3 minutes. If anything is lacking in your life, it's because you're not seeking the right thing. Let me say it again. If anything is lacking in your life, it is because you are not seeking the right thing. Because it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. So if anything is lacking in your life, you simply say, Lord, what is it that I need to seek? What is it that I need to seek? The other day I was listening to Pastor Ifeobuke. He said, got to a point, his wife began to intercede for other people. And that was why when breakthrough came into their home. So God was saying, you need, just take your eyes off certain things in your life. What should I be seeking? So people have been looking for work. God says, listen, your problem is that you've been so focused on when you will get work. What kind of suit you are going to wear? That's why I have not been able to give you anything. But look at it and say, Lord, this is my gift. Will it die like this? I need to be out there blessing somebody with it. Once you start focusing on somebody else, that's it. Breakthrough comes into your life. Sometimes it's not even directly related to that. God just says, listen, I want you to learn, like I was saying, the thing I was telling you earlier, I want you to learn patience. I want you to be insulted and you don't answer. They're talking about business breakthrough. And God said, all you need is what? Patience. So use your faith to learn patience. Take some scriptures. When I'm slapped on the left, I turn the right. When I slap on the left, you wake up every morning, you are declaring, every slap on my right, I turn the left cheek. Every slap on the left cheek, I turn the right cheek. In the name of Jesus. If they say to me, go 1 mile, I will go 2 miles. Because these were the things that Jesus said. Oh, Father God, I thank you. If they take my coat, they can have my shirt. In the name of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not going to court. No. In the name of Jesus, I would rather be oppressed than disobey the word of God. You know, you'll be grab. They know you for market before. So that boy know they take nonsense. So. Because that's the reason why you will never prosper. This, I know they take nonsense. Is what Satan will use to lock you down. Say, Lord, what shall I do? Take nonsense now. What else are you talking about? Start taking nonsense. Because go and make a list of all your debtors. You make a list of them. And God said, the first 10, don't collect the money back again. Say, eh? God, I wrote in the list, you know, according to the size of the money they are owing. Hey, God, if I had known, I'd right hand the other way. He said, God says, yes. And you're like, what? The first 10, Papa God, please. Total it now. The total, it comes to 1.65 million. Yeah. Father. Okay, Lord, let's do it like this. I collect it, I give you half. You say, lie. I want to teach you a lesson. I'm not saying collecting your debt back is wrong, but you. Listen to me. Let me tell you about something about the word of God. Don't be hasty to obey it. What should you be hasty to do? Pray about it. Take that word and go and pray. Christians want to go and, like, okay, when you reach halfway, when you see the first Roman soldier about to drag you to the cross, you know, you will run back. What do you do? Just take that prayer. Say, just take the list and go to God. Father God, if it was possible, I want to collect my money. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You leave it there, go and eat. Next day you come back, Lord, if it was possible, I want to collect my money. But nevertheless, not your will, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. I receive patience. It is those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They are the ones I'm following. So I have faith. You do that for a week. At the end of the second week, they offer you the money, you don't want it again. And you know what they call temptation? Somebody say temptation. The man owing the biggest will just suddenly call you. Ah, Alagba. Sorry, I was out of town. I just felt like giving you your money now. You say, sir, the Lord said I shouldn't collect. What do you mean? No, I'm willing to pay. The Lord said I shouldn't collect. But I must give you your money, sir. Go and give it to charity. If you get to a point, you say you won't want the money. Why? Because you use your faith. That's my emphasis. It is the use of your what? Faith. That's my emphasis, though. That is what God wants us to do with his gold and his silver, so that we can shine indeed like his bride. I hope you get my point today. All right, let's just bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks. If you were enlightened by that word, thank him. Say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. I will not misuse your gold. I will not misuse your silver. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. I just want to pray a prayer for you direct from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. I believe it was Paul that wrote it. He said, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will in the name of Jesus Christ. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He will cause your path to shine in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it once again, no evil will befall you,
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I pronounce blessing upon this your week.
Amen.
Goodness will fill it for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Favor will fill it for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every affliction is turned away from you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Perfect healing for your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you travel, you will be safe.
Amen.
As you return, you will be safe.
Amen.
I say one more time, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This country is on its path to greater prosperity.
Amen.
And you will partake of it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because
of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death.